When you're struggling with your mental health, the world can seem pretty heavy, like no one understands what you're feeling or you're not sure how to ask for help. But here's the real truth. You're never in this alone. 988 Lifeline's trained crisis counselors are available 24/7 to offer the help and support you need to make it through. No judgment, no stigma, just someone to listen. Text or call 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, day or night. 988. Hope has a new number.
Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, on the 16th day of June, 2023, this is the voice of the Christian resistance, and he pushes the buttons, he turns the dials, he takes the calls, and he does it with a smile. He's our man on the board. His name's Kyle.
Hey, Pastor Ernie.
Okay, do you think Muhammad Ali would be proud of me on that? I don't know.
That was wonderful.
All righty. He's in there. He's my man. He's the tech man. He's not the Pitts. Instead, he is the Ritz. Ron Ritz is here.
Good evening, everyone.
How am I doing? Is it getting better?
Sounding more and more like him, yeah.
Okay. And way out there in a Lone Star State, with his 10-gallon hat, his cowboy boots, none other than Big John McTernan.
Well, hello, Pastor Ernie. I'm looking for a good show tonight. God bless you and all our listeners.
Well, listen, we got to have a good show, and here's what we got to do first, because we normally pray here before I go on the air. I always take time, but we got really busy here, and I didn't get to it. And boy, does this radio program really needs to be prayed over, because, John, you might not believe it, there's a whole lot of people out there want us off the air. And so would you pray that the good Lord keeps us on the air tonight?
Yes, yes. Yeah, Father, we're before you in the name of Jesus, and we're asking that you would protect the show so it stays on the air. Lord, it's being attacked, and it's being interfered with, the broadcast, an attempt to limit it so people can't hear the truth. But the Bible says you should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So we're asking you in Jesus' name that you will work to protect the message so it gets out all across the nation tonight, because the people need the truth. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jim. John, the title of the message this week was The Rapture, Types, Shadows, and Prophetic Truths Immutable. And we started out because of the way things was happening, everything that's happening, the current state of affairs in the world today, all of the signs that the Lord's soon return, his immutable or his inevitable return. People are calling me with questions. Some want to argue about the rapture. Others are calling and asking me, when is it going to be? So I thought that's what I'll preach on. I'll see if we can maybe straighten some of that stuff up. And so we started out by taking a look at types and shadows of the rapture. And we started with Genesis chapter 7, when we took a look at the flood. The flood was a type of the rapture, where you had Noah and his eight. The ark was a type of Christ, and Noah and the eight found salvation in the ark. The ark was taken up off the earth, during the flood, 15 cubits, 22 and a half feet above the highest mountains, while down below on earth, God's judgment was taking place. And then we saw Sodom and Gomorrah. We saw Lot and his family taken out of Sodom and up into the mountains, while down below we saw judgment taking place on the plains. And then when the Exodus out of Egypt, where the Lord took his people through down into the Red Sea and then up out of the Red Sea, up onto the mountain, while down below, judgment was taking place on Pharaoh's army. So those are three pictures or types of the rapture. And so then we went to the purpose of the tribulation period. The purpose, because there are a lot of those people say that the church will go through the tribulation period. The church will go through. Well, the purpose of the tribulation period is to prepare Israel for her king and the purification of Israel. And we took a good look at that. We used some of the Old Testament purification rites to show you how that was done. And in Ezekiel chapter 36, 17 through 33, gives you a real good picture of that. Also, in Zechariah 13, verses 8 and 9, along with Malachi 4, verses 1 through 6, we saw how the Lord was getting Israel ready, was going to purify Israel to take her, get her ready for her king. And then the purpose of the tribulation, when it came to the people living on earth, those that had rejected the Lord, we took. Now, there's a lot of verses there, a lot. And I gave the verses up, but we only opened up to one. Those verses was Revelation 6:10, Revelation 11:10, 14:6, 17:8. But what we did was we went through Revelation 13:8 through 14, and we took a good, strong look at that. Now, tonight, well, first I would say, John, and I know you would absolutely agree, it would be a total contradiction of the very relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ and his church for the church to be punished with the unrepented lost world. Now, there is absolutely, positively no purpose at all of the church going through the tribulation period, right? It's like having two children. One is obedient and behaves you, and the other is not, is rebellious. And you don't punish both of them, right? Except for in the Ohio prison system, you do. In the Ohio prison system, if you have two people, if one guy sneaks up behind another and clubs him over the head, they both go to the hole. I mean, now, does that make sense? But then we see we have a lot of problems in the Department of Corrections, believe me. But tonight, we're going to look at what God's Word, the Bible, says, how God spares the church from the wrath of God, how God spares the church from the wrath of God. So, do you want to, Ron, read Romans 5, 9, Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, okay? And we read this: much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Okay? Let me read that again. Much more now, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if we were the enemies of the Lord, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Okay. So what do you think about that, John? Would you tell the folks what that means?
Well, what it means, Pastor Ernie, is that he's taken the penalty for our sin, and that the wrath that we would face, two places, Pastor Ernie.
Well, we got more to go. Go ahead.
One here on earth during the tribulation period, and then the eternal wrath.
Mm-hmm. So let's go now.
We've been saved by his life.
Absolutely. Let's go now to 1 Thessalonians 5, again, 1 Thessalonians 5, and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, and verse Okay.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead and read it.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, would you say that's pretty clear?
Oh, yeah. Let me read verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, that means clear-minded, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Well, when we look at it, Pastor Ernie, chapter 4 in 1 Thessalonians, of Christ coming for us, that's the hope of our salvation. Our salvation, what we're looking for, is the salvation of our body.
Yep.
And that's what Christ comes for in chapter 4. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 4 is the salvation. That's the rapture. And so chapter 4 is the rapture, and chapter 5 tells us God has not appointed us to wrath. And just hold on, Pastor.
What about 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58?
Hold on, Pastor Ernie. In 1 Thessalonians,
yeah.
But of the times, 5:1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, I have no need that I write unto you. The times and the seasons is the restoration of the kingdom to Israel with Jesus Christ as King. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So chapter 5 is about the day of the Lord.
All right. So what we have to do?
We
got to make it, because here's where people make a mistake. And chapter 4 talks about at the last trump. Now, it's the word trump is a sound. It's not an instrument. The last trump is the sound that the trumpet, the first trump. So it's the last trump of the first trumpet. It's not the same as what's over in Revelation 6. So now the other thing there in 4, John, is the day of Christ. When he's telling you 13 through 18, talks about the day of Christ. The day of Christ always refers to salvation. The day of the Lord always refers to judgment. The day of Christ.
Exactly.
So, people, if you don't understand that, you're going to get awful confused, won't you?
And Pastor Ernie, in chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 11. After all this teaching about us not being appointed to wrath, verse 11 says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do."
Absolutely.
So they've already been comforting them, each other, which were not appointed to wrath, but to the rapture. And it's so how, look, that tells us to comfort and edify one another with the teaching that was just above it.
Okay. So would you do this? Would you go to John chapter 14 and read me verse 1 through 3? John 14, 1 through 3.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Okay, so now listen. If he goes away and he's coming back to take us with him, okay, to the place he prepared, does that sound a whole lot like you'd like the rapture of the church?
Absolutely.
All right. Now, here, of course, we don't want to have to read it all, but in 1 Corinthians 15, well, you know, maybe we should read 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58.
Okay. Almost there. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal should have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Let me ask you this. Why is the strength of sin in the law? Why is the strength of sin in the law?
Well, because the law really identifies with what sin is. It tells us what sin is, and that if you break the law, there's a penalty for it.
So, is the law perfect?
Absolutely.
So, are we perfect?
No.
So, since we're not perfect, that in within our bodies is sin, the law being perfect could only do, it only judge us, it can't help us, can it? It can only condemn us, right?
Yeah, Galatians says the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So the law is to show us that we are sinful and cannot keep God's standard and that we need a Savior.
Okay. A couple more verses very quickly. What about if we go over to... I'll read it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Okay, does that sound like you and I are going to be, that the church is going to go through the wrath of God?
No.
Okay, we got one more. Okay, you ready for this one? Revelation 3:10.
I was waiting for that one.
Okay. But let's do this, because he's talking to the Church of Philadelphia. The Church of Philadelphia was the Bible-believing fundamentalist church of the day. The Bible-believing fundamental church of the day. In other words, they held to what is taught in Hebrews 5 and 6. They literally held to the Word of God, did they not?
Oh, yeah. It says that the people there were of little strength. You have kept my word and have not denied my name.
Okay, so today there's only one church that I know of out there that literally believes... let me just say maybe one, I don't want to use the word denomination, but one group of churches that, to my knowledge, literally believes all of the Word of God and holds to all of the Word of God, and that's the unregistered fundamentalist Bible-believing church. And, you know, I mean, all of the others, they believe in things like denominations. Is denomination, is that biblical or is that man-made?
Man-made. I don't. Yeah, it's man-made.
Okay, so the government of the church is not complicated at all. The government of the church, Jesus Christ and Christ alone is the head of the church. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. He's the head with the body.
And then the under shepherd is the pastor of the local assembly of the local congregation, and then you have the elders and deacons, and then the assembly. Is that correct?
That's right. That's the structure.
So now if you insert anything between the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and the under-shepherd, the local pastor, if you insert a synod, or if you insert an assembly or whatever, in there, a presbytery, whatever you insert in there, that is not biblical. That is man-made, and that's not... Did God do it right when he gave us the government of the church?
I think so, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, he did too.
God, and he knows best.
Yeah. So, but now there's only, like I said, that literally hold to that, okay, that are not a denomination. They're not 501c3. They literally hold to every word there. And here today when he says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon all the earth. I believe it. Do you think he can do that?
If he says it in his word, there's no doubt about it.
Well, I do too. So, but apparently there's a lot of them out there that don't believe it, okay? And they think that we're going to go through. Now, there are those that believe too, John, because the Bible says that the Lord is coming back for those that are looking for his return. Those that are looking for his return. So now, there are people that believe that even saved Christians, if they're saved Christians, but they don't believe in the rapture of the church, or they may be mid-trib or post-trib. And there are some that believe, since they're not looking for the Lord's return, they're going to have to go through the tribulation period, even if they're saved. What do you think?
I think, Pastor Ernie, that belief in Christ coming is what's most important, his bodily resurrection and his coming. And if you're off on the timing of his coming, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to miss the rapture and the marriage supper of the Lamb.
You would be absolutely correct on that. So, and let's verify through Ron Ritz. Ron, did we get it right?
Correct.
There you go. All it's right. Done. It's now, done.
It's official.
It's one verse I want to get in here before we run out of time.
Go ahead.
You were close. You were in Thessalonians chapter 5, and we come to Thessalonians chapter 1.
Oh, yeah.
Paul, he's talking how good the Thessalonian church is. And he says, and basically, and you wait for his, you are waiting for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So they're living with the blessed hope, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So they're living with the blessed hope. And then and Paul saying here that Jesus has delivered us from the wrath to come. And we just covered the wrath in chapter 5.
Yep. Absolutely. To me, it's pretty clear, you know. What do you think?
Well, yeah. I'm, it is absolutely clear. And it's man-made doctrines that get in the way, Pastor Ernie.
Why are those people always wanting to argue with us about that?
Because we live with the blessed hope, and they don't. And it is something in them that's not of God that can't stand the blessed hope. Seriously, Pastor Ernie.
I hear you.
You know, all right. Do we ever get ugly about mid-trib, post-trib, and all that? I mean, we never. They take it to us. You know, they want to say horrible things about us believing in the blessed hope. And let I got better time than to make a ministry out of post tribulation belief. I'm not going to do that.
Well, it's not a salvation issue.
They do with us, Pastor Ernie.
So when we got ugly, that was just a natural process, right? All right. Okay. You know what? We're going to play this clip. This is a very interesting clip about something we're looking for too. It's kind of a hope today too for us. And so go ahead and play that clip.
Well, I mean, that's right. And a number of your colleagues have also filed articles of impeachment against Joe Biden because of this reason. What's the timing on the end of Comer's investigation and when you would actually see an impeachment trial?
So in my discussions with him, the challenge is getting all this subpoena information and financial information from all these different LLCs and banks. So they basically laundered the money in all these different individual LLCs. So you have to do specific subpoenas to those specific LLCs' bank records. So it's going to take some time. I would imagine probably the next 30 to 90 days before you're going to get that financial information back through the subpoenas. So it should be in the next couple of months. Hopefully by like fall, the Comer will have that information. They can move forward in the committee process to investigate it, bring the information before the American people, and I think we move forward with an impeachment proceedings.
Yeah, but you're not going to get two-thirds of the Congress to take this guy out of his job, right? I mean, the House could impeach Joe Biden over this, but the Senate probably won't. You've got Democrats completely ignoring it and the media completely ignoring it. I mean, the media will not cover this story, even though these are the most serious allegations ever leveled against a president.
I mean, you're talking about bribery of the vice president while he was sitting vice president, bribery of his family members. I mean, this would have been a Republican member of Congress. You'd be indicted already and sitting in prison. But because it's Joe Biden, the DOJ and the FBI, which is basically the enforcement arm of the Democratic Party now, is completely and utterly protecting him. We could get the votes into the House, but we'd have to get 60 votes in the Senate, like you said. But I would think that even like moderate D's in the Senate, like a Manchin or a Sinema, would see the level of corruption here and be like, look, we can't stand for this before the American people. But unfortunately, I don't think Democrats, you're probably not going to get 8 of them or 10 of them to sign on to removing the president of the United States just because of party politics.
All righty, we're back. I've got an article here. You know who Harvard attorney Alan Dershowitz is, don't you? Well, he has published a report on Thursday on the Gatestone Institute webpage discussing the challenges President Trump's facing in defending himself from the deep state and the Communist Party. And according to him, he says here, these are disturbing suggestions that among the reasons lawyers are declaring the case is because they fear legal career reprisals. Now, there is a nefarious group that calls itself the 65 Project that has as its goal to intimidate any and all lawyers into not representing President Trump or anyone associated with him. They have threatened to file bar charges against any such lawyers. I wrote an op-ed offering to defend a pro bono to defend pro bono any lawyers that the Project 65 goes after. So the 65 Project immediately went after me, and they contrived a charge based on a case in which I was a constitutional consultant, but was designed to send a message to potential Trump lawyers. If you defend Trump or anyone associated with him, we will target you, we will find something to charge you with, and the lawyers whom I spoke are fully aware of this threat, and they are taking it seriously. It may even be worse today. So what do you think about that, John?
Yeah, that's part of the conspiracy. I mean, it's an open conspiracy, Pastor Ernie. It's not hidden. Against the president, and it's all part of it's fine-tuned, it's well thought out, and this shows you the depth and breadth of the deep state, Pastor Ernie. And the deep state goes beyond that, and it's tied into the New World Order. The deep state here is an arm of the New World Order.
Well, you know what? That can be played two ways. We would have to find out who these people are, these lawyers in Project 65 and out of them, huh? And that would be, I consider that high treason, don't you? And demand they be charged with treason.
Yeah, but the problem is you can find out who they are. It doesn't matter. These people, just like the rest of them, they simply have no souls. They have no morals, no principles, so there's really not much you can do. You can announce their names and whatnot, but they're not playing by the same rules as us.
Well, you know what? No, there are. You can go after them. No, they're not going to play by the same rules as us. But, you know, You think God's watching all this?
Oh, yeah. They're going to get their just rewards, correct?
Okay. Yeah. So, in other words, what do you have there for us tonight?
It's going to be hard to describe, but you might have seen it on the internet. Joe Biden brought Eva Longoria to the White House, and he had some sort of celebration, and he's actually groping her podium.
Yeah.
And then she takes his hands and pushes them away. But I think we should be thankful that at least, you know, she's not 12 years old or a little boy or a little girl. So every time you see this guy, you just cannot believe. We used to call people like that Uncle Pervy, you know, just a disgusting pedophile.
Well, you know what? Some years ago, I literally chased Joe Biden down the halls of the Russell Building. And when he came out, I know I've told this story many times before, but I was up there and I was going to, it had to do with the pro-life. I was going to the office of George Voinovich when he was there as a senator. And as I was walking down the hallway, I got, you know, about halfway down and there wasn't anybody in the hallway. It was perfectly empty. And here, just as a door opens, you know, 3 feet away from me, and Joe Biden steps out. And he looks at me. He's right there where I die, and he puts out his hand and says, "I'm Senator Biden." And I said, "I'm Pastor Sanders." And so we were walking. He said, "What brings you here?" And I told him, I said, the right to life. I'm down here for the pro-life. He says, "Well, you know, not everybody's pro-life." And I says, "God is. And in my opinion, you're pro-life or low-life, okay?" And so he started walking faster, and I started walking faster. And we got in, and then he broke out in a flat-out run. I mean, he ran all the way down. He got in the elevator. I really expected to see him, you know, stick out his tongue before he pressed the button there. But
yeah,
he didn't. But here, when I think about it, I could have been, now just think about that, I was alone in a hallway with him. He could have smelled my hair.
He probably did. You just didn't know it.
Well, if I'd have known it, do you think his smeller might have been busted?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, it's...
What do you think? Have you ever come into that kind of danger, Big John?
No, Pastor Ernie, I haven't. But I have to say, well, I don't know if it makes a difference, really, but at least the world, that video is all over the internet. I mean, you could see where his hands were and what he did. So it's just evidence. I mean, we're not making it up. It's evidence of what he is.
So, well, let me tell you, he did something worse than that the other day, because you had one of them trans queers. And the trans queer was topless.
Topless, yeah.
And he had artificial breasts, but he was running around topless
At the White House.
At the White House, and he was he was hugging Joe Biden. He was hugging Biden. Okay, and so that is really sick.
It's the debauchery is unparalleled.
It is. It is really, really sick. This is what you're for if you're a Democrat.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, like, and then it's gotten really bad. So now I've heard that there are a number of Democrats that are saying now that they're going to change. They could not vote for Biden. He's gone too far. He's pushed the sodomite thing too far. Now, do you think many Democrats will do that, or do you think it's just going to be a few?
They'll only do it if their constituency starts calling and making a fuss and ruckus, and you know that might push them over to do it, Pastor Ernie. They're all like him, so unless there's political pressure, unless there's some sort of political pressure, they'll figure that they'll ignore it and it'll go away, and that people won't bring it up.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that there's actually a depth to their depravity, and I don't think we've hit it yet.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder about that myself. Now, I got a couple quick announcements I really need to make, and one is good news here in Ohio. The good news is the Ohio Supreme Court voted to that the August 8th special election, the amendment to the Constitution, is constitutional. So that means we're going to have a special election on August 8th.
That's real important.
Now, tell me how important it is.
Because it's going to raise the percent up to from 50% to 60%.
In other words, the Senate on the votes to
amend the Constitution.
To amend the Constitution. Now, this is very, very important because, folks, the death culture. The Democrats are pushing death legislation, which is completely and totally evil. Now, listen, you folks out there that you say, well, this is not a major election. Listen, if you do not go and vote in this, if you're not unregistered, get registered. But if you won't go and vote, and if you say, well, I can't get out of the house, you can get an absentee ballot. Right?
Yeah.
In fact, we have a whole stack of them in the church there, don't we?
Yep.
And then we would mail to you. Now, let me tell you why this is so important. In the death culture, Sue, here's the question. Do you care anything at all for your children? If you care anything for your children, well, if you don't care for your children, maybe you don't have any. But what about somebody else's children? Do you care for children at all? You see, these wicked, evil, ungodly people that are out there getting these signatures. Here, let me just give you an example what this does. They call it the reproductive freedom. And their definition of reproductive freedom is killing innocent individual children. That's their definition. These people are wicked, they're evil, they're ungodly, and they're unclean. And now that is all right there. You'll find that right in God's Word, the Bible. Okay? That's not something I made up. That's not just my opinion. It's right here in God's Word, the Bible. Now, here, when they tell you every individual has the right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions, they're talking about 10-year-old, 12-year-old kids, folks. They're talking about these little girls that get pregnant, and they want to sneak them in, whether they're actually pregnant or not. They can sneak them into these abortion mills, okay? A lot of times, they're not even pregnant, okay? Without the parents' consent or knowledge at
all. That's critical.
Right. And now, the only thing that the parents would have no right to stop it.
Yeah.
And but they would get the bill for it, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Yep.
And if something goes wrong, they don't have a right to sue, do they?
No. I think that the most important thing we can do is, if you're at the same locations where they're gathering signatures, is to get the actual language, this one or two sentences that basically state you will lose all control over your children's welfare. Because
that's what we've been doing. We've got that on a sign.
But on signs. Okay.
Yeah, we've got those. We've been out there holding those up.
Because people don't always understand, you know, they hear reproductive health, but when you tell them you're going to lose all control over your children's well-being, I think that'll register with everyone.
Absolutely. So minors are not protected, folks, let me tell you. What it also does, not only does that, but for these Democrats that like to sneak into little girls' bathrooms.
Yeah.
And like they did at Target stores, they were going in there and take pictures while the little girls were in there using the toilets. They could do that. They'd let them in there. You know, it's like a Target to it's everything. Now, if your 14-year-old decides that she doesn't want to be a girl now, she's decided she wants to be a boy, then she can go and have her little breast removed, right?
Without your consent.
Right. And if the boy decides he wants to be a girl, not only without your consent, without your knowledge.
Yeah.
Without telling you.
Yeah.
Okay, now folks, that's what that does. So if you don't get out there, and if you don't vote on August 8th, because they won't get enough, okay, then I'm ashamed of you.
Yeah, they estimate that there's going to be 15 to 16% turnout. So that's No. Minuscule. So it's got to be higher than that.
You go, you vote on issue one, vote yes on issue one.
Yeah.
Vote yes on issue one, okay, on August 8th. Everyone listening to me out there in Ohio, now you folks out there in different states all across the country, there are people, they want to do the same thing in your state. They want to do what they're trying to do here. And so you need to be prepared. So you need to offer up the same type of thing we're doing here. So here, also, I want to make a couple quick announcements. What's happening locally? Locally, we have on Tuesday, the 20th, June 20th, here in the Northeast Ohio area, the Rookery in Geauga County, the Rookery at 10110 Cedar Road, Newberry, Ohio. There's going to be a dinner, but you have to register, and you have to do that right away. And you just go up on the internet to leadershipinstitute.org/Newberry. Leadershipinstitute.org/Newberry. That's leadershipinstitute.org/Newberry. They're going to be talking about, it's going to be what we can do, our strategy here. And you're going to have Laura Streitman, Executive Director of Cincinnati Right to Life. And you can learn how you can contribute and win the elections, folks. So, and then on, where's the other one? I have another announcement. Okay, here it goes. On Monday here at, they're going to be talking about, you have a pro-life Geauga County Right to Life involved with Geauga County Tea Party, and that's going to be the pro-life town hall, and that's going to be held Monday at the Westwoods Nature Center, 9465 Kinsman Road, that's 9465 Kinsman Road in Novelty, Ohio. Now, folks, this is about saving lives, and that's why it's so important. That's why it is so very important that we get this done.
Yeah, what they're doing, they're taking the fight to each state now. So that's where the new battleground is.
Yeah, I know, one by yeah. one. And so,
Pastor Ernie, I wanted to add something in this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
One thing our listeners have to know is that in the state of Washington, it's already passed, and it's on the road, and it's down the road in California, I think New York and other states, where if it's school, it's determined, you know, that little Johnny in the fifth grade wants to be Sally, and the parents, and they start that proceeding, and the parents interfere with it, they'll literally, by law, come and take that child out of the house and put them into a state home, and then keep them there and perform the mutilation. That's law. That is law now in the state of Washington.
Well, and what needs to happen in the state of Washington is you need to get citizens groups together. And when they come to take the children, the citizens group shows up armed. This is a communist takeover. This is treason in the state of Washington. Yeah. And you folks out there, that's a good state to leave, and you need to homeschool it. But you folks, you citizens, need to stand together against this Antichrist. It is the Antichrist communist movement. And you need to stand, and you need to stand together.
I remember in the 90s, Hillary Clinton was pushing, it was a tribal saying, it takes a village to raise a kid, a child.
Yeah.
It sounds really nice, but it, basically implying the community is going to raise the child, not the parent, and that's what they're doing now.
Yeah.
And that just transfers to the state.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, again, this is, the Lord has raised us up for such a time as this.
Yeah, there's one more thing that we're talking about, which is interesting. John brought up about literally prosecuting the parents for trying to raise their children. You're starting to see a lot of Muslim groups.
Yes.
In the schools, they're out in the streets, they're protesting, and they're fighting tooth and nail for their children, which it's sad to say we have a lot of Christians in this country, but we're just sitting around doing nothing while they're taking our children away.
Well, you see, that's how you can tell the ones that are real Christians, you know, the real shepherds and the difference in the hirelings. Look, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions, okay?
Yeah.
Now, if you're as bold as lions, are you going to sit there and let them do that to your children? No, you're going to fight. You have a lot of neo-evangelical, they're symbolism over substance.
Yeah.
They go to their entertainment centers and they dress nice and they hear the nice music and they put on a smiley face, but they're not real.
Yeah.
They're not real, okay? And that's what you have. This is why I'm blessed to pastor the Doers of the Word Baptist Church. And the Doers of the Word Baptist Church, if we're having a situation, if they come for one of us, who shows up?
Everyone.
We all show up, yeah. Don't we? Folks, that's the way it's got to be. This is the time. Now, let me ask you something. The prissy preachers are going to have their pink bloomers all in a bunch now, John. The prissy preachers are going to say, that Pastor Oney, he's heretical, right?
Yeah.
Now, when Jesus asked Peter, do you have a sword? He meant a weapon. The word sword there is the same for weapon. And what did Peter say? He says, we have two of them. He says, when the time comes, if you have to sell your cloak to buy a sword. Now, how important was that? How many cloaks do you think those guys had in those days? Two at the most, right?
Yeah.
Most of them didn't even have a closet at home full of clothes, right?
Yep.
Okay, and so it could get awful cold at night without your cloak, right?
Yes.
So do you think the significance was he's saying it's very important that you get a weapon
to protect yourself?
Well, to protect not only yourself but each other.
Yeah.
So that's what he's referring to. And so, boy, tonight I've got something in the air in here. I don't know what it is, but yeah, I do. I see it flowing out outside the window. It's the little white fuzzy things, and they were all over me again today. Soon, that'll be over with.
Yes.
Hopefully, because it's getting bad today. All righty, you have an article there?
Yeah, this is kind of good news. Planned Parenthood and independent abortion centers are actually at each other's throats. So this is an article from the New Yorker. That's basically, you've got independent abortion clinics that are starting to sue Planned Parenthood. And they basically say that they have enormous fundraising advantage over them and seldom, if ever, share the wealth in the advocacy of abortion access. Just think about that for a second, how horrible that is.
How wicked, evil, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they actually, look what they're fighting over. But they also say that they accuse Planned Parenthood of viewing them as competition, not as collaborators, and cornering the abortion market in ways that drive them out of business. Now, ParkMed New York City, an independent abortion facility, is suing Planned Parenthood for poaching their only abortionists and putting them on the brink of collapse. I mean, it's unbelievable what they're fighting over to begin with.
I will not refer to those bloody whorehouses of death. That's what they are.
Yeah.
They're whorehouses of death. And nothing else. They're evil, they're wicked, they're unclean, they're ungodly, they're right from the pit of hell. I love to say Planned Predators has killed more individuals, more human beings than any army on earth.
Okay? Yep.
And so, folks, we got to, the Bible tells us we got to push against this with everything we have, right?
Yes, and when you think about the 63 million plus abortions, that's only physical ones. That does not include contraceptive abortion, the morning after pill and all that. So it's really untold.
So, John, in the Old Testament, what did God bring the harshest judgment on our nation for doing?
Well, shedding innocent blood.
Killing of the children, huh? Killing of the children.
Yeah, they were shedding the blood, yeah, of the children. Yep.
He actually brought them to the point of cannibalism, didn't he? Cannibalism for killing children.
When the Babylonians came and they were sieging Jerusalem, the people resorted to cannibalism.
We had here a couple of years back. You might remember you had this an abortionist. He was an Indian abortionist, and he was taking the baby's bodies and he was putting them on a salad. And
oh my goodness!
Yeah, and we were talking, and some of the goons, the ghoulies that worked in there, it was even too much over the top for them. They couldn't believe it. Okay, and so they reported him for doing that. And they couldn't arrest him, but he did violate some food, you know, like what some of the laws they govern restaurants by. Unbelievable how bad, you know, what we've got to. So now, does God know that America, with our big economy and how powerful we are, does God think that we're above the law? Or do you think God, because God has blessed us, to whom much is given, much is required, right?
Yes.
Okay, so God has blessed America, blessed all nations. So he has expectations of us. And again, no place has our Lord been more dishonored than from the pulpits of churches. And I've been saying it all these years. And it's the judgment begins right at the house of God, right at that pulpit. And the pastors, have really let him down, haven't they? Really, all of us, haven't they?
Yes, they have. Yeah. So, if you think, like I mentioned a couple of times, our politicians have let us down, but we can almost expect that, but that should never happen from the pulpit.
No. Nope.
Right. Never. You're absolutely right. And Pastor Ernie, before the break, I want to throw in some good news.
Go ahead.
Target has now lost $15.7 billion.
That's good.
That's good, yeah.
And Anheuser-Busch is going over $20 billion.
I don't even hear it anymore about Bush.
Yeah, they've gone over $20 billion. They used to be the largest selling beer, and now they're not.
You know what else is nice? The people that are defending Bush Light, Garth Brooks came out last week and, you know, made a big stink about he's going to be selling Bud Light in his, I guess he's got a chain of bars, and now he's taking it on the chin and losing a lot.
Good.
So I think, like I said a couple of times, it always seems that we put pressure on, and then a couple of weeks later we're back to normal, but hopefully this is sustainable and it continues.
Well, right now, even tonight as we're here, the Los Angeles Dodgers,
yes,
they have made a... They sent a message to us, the Catholic Church and us, but saying, look, you people with your religion, listen, you want your entertainment. Your entertainment means more to you than religion. So you're going to just have to suck it up, and you'll come. You'll spend your money. You'll come to our games. Now, let me ask you this. I can tell you this. If an acquaintance of mine said, you know what? I know it's wrong, and I know what they're doing, but I'm going to go to the game anyhow.
No respect.
You know what I would do? I would cut off. I would say, yeah, I'm so ashamed at you, I don't even want to talk to you ever again. You know, right?
Yeah.
That's what I would do. What about you, John? Would you do that?
It shows a shallowness, Pastor Ernie. How could you support it? I mean...
Hey, John, hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
Okay. All right.
We're coming up to a break, and then you can comment on that, and then I'm going to introduce this clip, very interesting clip. Be back right after this. We're coming. We're doing a count. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. The word Cleveland www.whatsrightwhatsleftministries.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.